Hey everyone, welcome back. This is Jennifer, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, where we love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we let the words of Christ dwell in us richly. Glad you're here. Grab your Bible and your lesson. We are in Ruth. What are we in? Ruth chapter 4. We're in Ruth chapter 4. This is lesson 3, and we're on day 7. So let's just go ahead and jump right in with some prayer and get started on our study right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we invite you to our time. I thank you right now for everybody here in the study together. We ask, Lord, that you would just help us to hear your word, see your word, know your word, love your word more today. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready? All right. Hey, I haven't mentioned it for a while, but I want to just remind you all how awesome these particular pens are. It's the Pentel 5. I think it's called Pentel 5. Anyway, can you see it there? If you go online, you can go to our, actually, we have a church link. I'll drop it in the show notes today. And you can go to Amazon and order these. They're fabulous. I don't make any money off this. It's not me trying to make a dime here, but I'm just telling you, these are fabulous pens. And look, it's multicolor. You click the top here and you just drop the colored pencil back in and out. Click it over to this color that you want, and out it comes. So orange, yellow, red, blue, and all that. Fabulous for highlighting, taking notes in your Bible, and I want you to have one of these. If you don't already, go ahead and order them on Amazon. You're going to want a couple. I actually keep a few right here in my cute little cup. This actually was my mommy's cup. That's sweet. This cute little, I think it's from, it might be from 31 Bags. I'm not exactly sure, but I love this little organizer. Anyway, got this from my mom, and it holds my pens in it, and I keep a couple of them handy, and usually I have one dialed in, like, to brown and one dialed into orange, because, like, especially when I'm just starting to read through a book in the Bible, they're very helpful for organizing. So anyway, I just noticed that a minute ago. I thought, hey, I haven't mentioned those in a while. Grab those. We are going to be starting Esther here in just a couple of days. And so you're going to want to have those handy as you do your first read through of Esther. I'm really excited to start that study with you. So grab one of those pencils, Pentel 5. I think they're called a Pentel 8, actually. I just said 5, but I'm pretty sure there's 8 colors in there. Anyway, whatever, you'll find it. Just go like Pentel, multicolored pencil, and I'll try to remember to drop that link in the show notes. If I forget, you can always just write a little comment in there and, you know, message me and tell me to make sure to add that in. All right, let's head over to our lesson. Enough of that. And again, we are in lesson 3, day 7, as always, starting with prayer and then jumping into our scripture memory, which has been from Psalm 42. Let's go ahead and read that together. Psalm 42, 1 through 6. Ready? You got this? I do, right? I hope. I'm getting there. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mazor. You know, as I was reading that just now, I was thinking about the author's intent, the person who actually originally wrote that song, that poem, that expression, and that someday, I hope it works out like this, someday we'll be able to maybe bring these questions to people like, I love that psalm. It meant so much to me. And what were you thinking? And what inspired you? And why did you write it? And what, how did you write it? And all that. So anyway, I was just thinking about that right now as I was rereading it and saying it with you again just now, like, gosh, I wonder who officially wrote it. We attribute it to a kind of a group of people, this particular psalm. But who wrote it? Why? What was the inspiration for that? So anyway, good stuff. All right, let's head over to our lesson. I'm hoping that my screen keeps on cutting out on me. Sorry about that. I was pausing. I'm hoping that my screen isn't cutting out. Remember the other day I made that whole long recording? Well, you maybe don't remember it, but anyway, made a whole long recording and the entire time the audio wasn't recording. It's a giant pain. So hopefully that's not the case. Let me double check microphone set, video. Let me double check it. Yeah. All right. It says it's recording. All right. Hopefully it is. Hopefully it is. And I won't have to redo this whole thing. Let's move on to the dwell on the word portion of our study today. We're actually going to be taking up what I think you might feel as a detour, but I'm going to tie that in as we wrap through our walk through our study today. You know, as I write these studies for you, I write them as I study. And so as I move through a book, this is the way that I move through a book. I read the whole book first. I think about what scriptures it reminds me of. I try to think about the historical significance in the Hebrew background or the Greek, if we're in the New Testament background of things. And then I think of themes that connect. And today, as we move into this study, I remember writing it thinking, gosh, this really reminds me of Psalm 90. So that's why we're going to open with Psalm 90, because literally as I was writing this, this is exactly what the Lord pulled into my brain. And I think that's just a part of having been exposed to scripture growing up. Thank you to my mom and dad, and having embraced that and loved that exposure to scripture. And it rattles around inside of you. And then when you continue to read the word, all of that wealth of knowledge comes back, and it feeds your soul and it feeds your mind. And now it gets to feed all of us as we go through this study together. So let's take a look at Psalm 90. We're going to write two truths that speak to your heart today. This is one of my absolute favorite Psalms. I probably say that about every Psalm I read, but I love it. I love it because it's unique in the body of work that we call the Psalms, all of them. This Psalm was written by Moses, and that makes it really unique, recorded here for us. So let's go ahead and read this. And then, think about two truths as I'm reading these words to you right now that stand out. So I'll read, you follow along, read along if you want, or just listen whatever you're doing right now. If you're multitasking, hopefully you'll be able to listen in and do this. All right. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight, but are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with the flood, they are like a dream. Like grass that is renewed in the morning it flourishes and is renewed, in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and the wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may have a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Wow. All right, so honestly, as I'm rereading that psalm again, I'm thinking about Shakespeare. This is the poetic strength of Shakespeare as well. And great men like Moses, inspired by God, and great men like Shakespeare, inspired by God. Although Moses, inspired by God, used his gift to glorify him and to point others directly to him. Look what we have here in Psalm 90. The truths that stand out to me are Moses' acknowledgement of the wrath of God and the power of God's wrath. And the fact that I know the story of Moses, I know what he witnessed in his life. So it must have left a strong, emotional, visceral impact on Moses. And then his words to the wise, really, in this psalm saying, you know, we can see everything that God does We can see the futility of our life without God and how God is fully in charge. And so therefore, what's his therefore? Teach us to number our days, right? So that we can live with that heart of wisdom, that we can live in a way. So those are two truths that sink into me deeply as I read through that. Moses' reality of who God is, Moses' desire and seeking after God for wisdom on how to make his days count, right? Let's go ahead over to our next question in our study. And I'm going to hop up back over to our lesson. Just a quick reminder, you can find it on the Jennifer G. Richmond blog. Read Deuteronomy 23, 3-4. What is the prohibition the Lord spoke against the Ammonites and Moabites in verse 3? All right. No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord even to the 10th generation. None of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever because they did not meet with you and with water on the way when you came out of Egypt. Because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. What is a prohibition? Even to the 10th generation, they may not enter into the assembly of the Lord. How many generations were the Ammonites and Moabites prohibited? 10 generations. Guess what? Ruth is of the 11th generation. It's true. If you read your genealogy and study that again, you'll see that. The next time you're tempted to skip a genealogy, remember this. Genealogies are helpful in seeing the amazing provision of God. Now, earlier in our study, you outlined the Feast of the Lord from Leviticus 23. The feast were given by God to his people to commemorate a miraculous deliverance, Passover, a grateful harvest, first fruits, the giving of the law at Sinai, and the blessing of harvest, Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, it's called. 3,000 years after Ruth, her account is read among observant Jews around the world during the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot in Hebrew and Pentecost in Greek. But why? Why read the book of Ruth? Well, let's take a look back in time to Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. Ruth 1, 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Exactly. So that gives you a hint. Why do you think the book of Ruth is read on the first day of the Feast of Weeks? Well, the first day of the Feast of Weeks is the Feast of the Blessing of the Harvest, right? And so Ruth lines up in time with that moment of history of this blessing of the harvest time. And so to this day, the beginning of this festival, it is. And you know what's a really fun thing to do is to align our Gregorian calendar with the Hebrew calendar, which to this day is different. I think in the Hebrew calendar, we're in year 5777, 77 or 78, something along those lines. Of course, we're in 2019 in our calendar. And we are, me giving this talk right now to you today, whatever you're listening to it, I'm on March, what am I on actually? March, Tuesday, March 12th is 2019 today. Whenever you're listening to me, it's Tuesday, March 12th for me. And so if you go and you actually type into Google, you can find out, well, what day is it on the Hebrew calendar? Because then it'll help you to see as things come up in the Bible, what months, how the months align, like the month of Adar or the month of Nisan or different months in the Bible and whatnot. You can see how they align to our months of March or April, May, June, and July, and so on. Enjoy that. Have fun. You should do some digging on that. All right. I promised earlier in the lesson that we'd come back to Ruth 4:6, the statement of Mr. So-and-so, or Ruth's not-so-kinsman redeemer. He was unwilling to redeem Ruth because he did not want to do what? I know you probably already wrote it down earlier, but go ahead and do it again here. I promise this is really important. Do you remember what it was? What did he say? Let's go ahead back and take a look at it. Ruth 4. He says, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own, I'm reading it right from here, lest I impair my own inheritance. All right, so jot that down. And Mr. So-and-so didn't really see the value in Ruth, didn't see a future in Ruth, didn't see a need for Ruth in his life, did he? What by implication then did he value? What did he value? Well, it's in Ruth chapter 4, verse 6, and depending on your translation, And it says here, I cannot redeem it, lest I impair my own inheritance. Actually, in the NIV, I think is what I was might have been looking at. I know I've encouraged you to read along with us in the ESV, but it starts with E and ends with state, and it's actually estate or inheritance, depending on which translation that you are in. So he valued his own estate, and by extension, his own name. This, the interesting thing to note is that by looking out for his estate and his name, he missed out on the great estate and the legacy of having the greatest name above all names descend from his line. In his short-sightedness, this man, trying to protect his name, gains the distinction of being unnamed. Mr. So-and-so is never named in a chapter that repeatedly honors the names of the men who stepped up, even calling on God to make their names famous. Are you at risk of being short-sighted like Mr. So-and-so today? Think back to Psalm 90. What verse or verses can help you with your focus? So now we tie this back into what I had you read at the beginning of our lesson just a few moments ago. Teach us to number our days. Help me see, God, what is the most significant in my life today. Don't allow me to give up on what is the most important because I want something that's too close to me and not significant, right? So how is Ruth's account giving you hope in your personal life? How can you help a friend struggling with what seems to be a completely unredeemable relationship today? Let's take this to the next level. Let's take this not only to our own heart and how we can, deep sigh, trust God, not only personally, but trust God to help us engage with others that are in our life, people who come to us and say, I'm hurting, I'm lost, I'm scared, I don't know how to trust God, I don't feel God, I don't see God. What have you learned in our study of Ruth that might help you be a good witness and have a good testimony in your own personal faith? And write that down and share that. But don't just share it there in this part of the study. You know, write it down in your study and whatnot. But why not share it right here as you're listening on YouTube or on Facebook and just jot down your thoughts and let us know what you're thinking about that today as well. So as we close our time together, think about this. I want you to not read the Bible for what you can get out of it. Read it for who you will come to know, God. Read every account, every poem, every teaching to know God. Anchor your heart, soul, mind, and strength in the knowledge of the character of God. And from there, venture out to give that truth and hope to those that he brings into your life. All right. Thank you for being with me today in this study. As always, you are loved and prayed for, and I look forward to being with you again in our next time together. Bye-bye for now.